Mutual in Christ's name this morning. Privilege we have to again be gathered together in the house of the Lord. Looking to Jesus. Appreciated that challenge. May we be challenged to continue to do that as we go through life. The blessings are ours as we do that. I thought I might just announce one more prayer request here, or announcement as a prayer request. If you think about it, this week, there's again a group going to Bangladesh for a discipleship conference, leaving the 1st, I believe. I'm not exactly sure what day that is, Wednesday or Thursday, I believe. Those going this time are Nolan Bechtel, his wife, and two of their girls, Arlen Geigle and his wife, and Paul Zare, going to take part in the discipleship conference, I guess, next week then. So pray for them as they do that. Brother Nolan sent a message this morning to the mission board for special prayer. He had been sick. He was down for several days with some COVID-like symptoms, and the girls are having a few symptoms as well, and you know that to go to Bangladesh you need a clear COVID test. So they are concerned about that and ask for prayer that the Lord's will be done in that. They feel like they're on the mend, but still concerned about a clear test. Anyway, so you think about it, the Lord lays it on your heart. Pray for that. Pray for the work in Bangladesh. A lot of things taking place right there currently. New believers and those that need discipled. It's an exciting work to me as we see these new believers wanting to be a part. This time, while they're there, there's going to be serious thought and maybe even some steps taken forward to start an official, I guess you'd call it an official church, a body of believers. And that's what the discipleship conference is geared on, the blessing of the church, the importance of that, and I'm going to give teaching on that and see where that goes. So pray for that work as you think about it. All right, moving into the message for this morning. The last little while, I've been thinking a lot about waiting. And I don't know how it is with you, but it seems like in my life anyway, I've been having to do a lot of waiting. You wait on this, you wait on that, have traveled some, wait on your flights, in the workforce, everyday life. It just seems like there's a lot of waiting on something. So I've been pondering that a bit and thinking about the impact that has had on my life and what am I doing with that. And so I'd like to challenge us this morning in this thought of waiting. How do you view waiting? How do you let it affect your life? The title I've put to the message is simply The Test of Waiting. And that's how I'd like to look at this subject, to present it as a test. Waiting is a test. If you were to list 10 things that you enjoy doing, I doubt that one of those would be waiting. The list would probably not include that. I don't enjoy traffic jams or long lines someplace. I don't enjoy that. You probably don't either, because we don't enjoy waiting. God has a test for us, and it is called the test of waiting. due to our dislikes of waiting, due to society's dislike of waiting, there have been many inventions. There have been many things that have been developed. So the thing of waiting is not quite as necessary. I think of the invention of microwaves. We have fast food restaurants. We don't like to wait. We have Amazon Prime, so we can get it quickly, hopefully the next day, maybe in just a couple of days. Anything to reduce the waiting time. Do think of it this way. If waiting were a muscle, I think we would find ourselves weak in that area. You think about it in your life. I think about it in mine, in the patient's muscle. So my question is this: what does Scripture have to say about waiting? Well, I was surprised at how much it has to say about it, and we want to look at that. Scripture has a lot to say about waiting. Turn to Isaiah 40, verse 31, a very familiar verse that we hear quoted many times. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says this: "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." There is a process here. There is a time of promise and a time of fulfillment. And in the middle of that time is what we call waiting. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." What are they doing? They are waiting. They are looking to. They patiently tarry. They wait. It is unto them, unto those people that are doing that, that the promise of renewed strength is there. And that is a blessing that we can experience. Don't give up. God is faithful and His timing is perfect. We don't understand it all the time. I'm sure that most of us have faced situations where we have wished that God's timing was different. Oh, if only the timing would be a little different. I'm sure we all have faced that. We didn't understand the timing. As I think about the test of waiting, David comes to my mind. Of all the people in Scripture that needed to wait, I probably think of him the most. In the Psalms, David speaks many times of waiting. He waited upon the Lord. And I think of David's life, his life story. As a young boy pulled out from being a shepherd, in Samuel 16, verse 13, we won't turn to that, but Samuel anointed David as king, and it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that time forward. But then we know that for years after that, he ran for his life from Saul. He was waiting. He was anointed, but he was waiting. It was a transition period, and God was working in his life. I'd like to read from Psalms. You can turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I'd like to read from this passage. Begin reading in verse 1. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off, be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We have those words, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, it is them that are waiting on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Waiting on the Lord. Let's drop down to verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I believe if anyone ever understood what about waiting, it was David. The promise that someday he would be king, and yet he waited and he waited. This morning, I ask you the question for consideration. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting for in your life? Are you waiting for something that God has promised you? You're in the middle of that time of waiting. You know, this time of waiting is not a wasted time. Sometimes we view that in life. We're in a long line and we're waiting. We're waiting in a traffic jam. I mentioned those two things. And it just feels like it's wasted time. Absolutely no good to be sitting here. Waiting is not always wasted time. Maybe you are praying for a friend or a spouse or a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter. Spending time in prayer about a need, something in someone's life. Maybe it's a situation in your life and you're waiting for God to come through and give direction to answer that. Waiting. There's more to Christian life, to the Christian life, than praying and receiving. And I'd like to present some things to you that I've pondered in this. And I'll say it again. There is more to life, to the Christian life, than praying and receiving. There is a time in there where, in that time frame between praying and receiving, that we plant the seed. I had to think of the farmer. When the farmer plants the seed, does he wake up the next morning and go pick the corn? No, he doesn't. There is a time of waiting that happens before the harvest. And the same thing, I believe, happens in God's economy where there is waiting. We pray and we pray. Sometimes we think we just, well, a prayer meeting, again and again, we pray for needs. And we wait and we wait. Yes, we trust. We want to trust God. And then God answers our prayer. And so waiting is not a wasted time. I'd like to turn now to a familiar scripture in Acts and consider some points from this. Acts chapter 1. Turn with me there. We'll be spending a bit of time here. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus had been crucified and he rose from the dead, and now he is amongst his believers and they see him and he is instructing them. I'd like to read here the first number of verses and then glean some things that we can learn here. Acts 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. In other words, after his death. By many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, Jesus was there with them. Here, Jesus was with them, being assembled together with them. Jesus came into their midst. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. And I had not necessarily thought about those words in there, in Jesus' command, until recently. I've thought about that, pondered that some. This was Jesus' command to the disciples. don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus to his disciples, they are excited to see him alive. They're hungry for the word. They saw his death, and they see him alive now. They are following him. They are dedicated to him. And what does he tell them to do? He says, wait. Here in Jerusalem, they are from Galilee, I believe, approximately 80 miles to the north. And so they are waiting away from home. They are waiting away from their comfort zone. They are probably, to them, in a strange city. They're away from their families, and they're waiting on God. Waiting. Sometimes waiting can be a lonely time for us. You know, we pray and we pray, and God says, wait, the time is not right. God, I'm trusting you for your promise. I'm ready, but I'm still waiting. It can feel like in that we are alone. Waiting can be difficult. It can be taxing on us physically. It can also be taxing on us financially. We don't know how long we have to wait. Here Jesus tells them, he says where to wait. He says to wait here in Jerusalem, but he doesn't tell them how long it's going to be. Bring this again to our own life. Maybe God has impressed upon you to do something. Maybe he has impressed upon you to go somewhere. Maybe he has specifically impressed upon you that you are to stay. You know, the safest place for the disciples was to be exactly where Jesus told them to be. And right now, right here at this point, it was in Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem. For us, I believe it is where God directs us. It is where he impresses upon us to go. Today we have the Holy Spirit's direction in our lives, and I'm thankful for that. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, go and speak to this individual, speak to that person, or maybe he specifically is saying, stay here right where you're at for the moment. Maybe we are seeking God for a place of service. He can lead us, and then in his time, he will take us there. Maybe we disagree with staying. Maybe we disagree with waiting. But the blessing is only ours as we obey God, as we obey his direction, as we listen to the Holy Spirit's direction in our life. I'd like to gather several lessons from this portion of Scripture. Jesus had given this command, and they went out on the mount. Jesus ascended to heaven. They saw him go. We see that in verse 9. Let's pick up reading again in verse 12. Acts 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. I find it interesting here, just kind of a side note, but I find it interesting that Mary the mother of Jesus was here with the disciples. Anyway, they were obeying what Jesus had said when he said to wait here in Jerusalem. Now, my first point that I would like to present to you is, while you are waiting, pray. I'm going to mention that a number of times. But while you are waiting, pray. God is putting the test of waiting on us. While you are doing that, pray. As I think about that, as I think about prayer, it seems to me maybe I'm just exposing my own self here, like I could well be, but it seems to me like prayer is one of the most neglected tools in our toolbox. We forget to pray as God would like for us to, as He intended for us to. We do all other things, and we forget to pray. I had to think of it this way, about using the right tool. If you were to hire a carpenter, you need a deck built on the back side of your house, you hire a carpenter, and you are impressed. You are impressed with how he handles himself. He comes out. He measures. He buys all the materials. He arrives. He is there, ready. Ready to get to work. He gets everything laid out. He puts on his tool pouch. He has the tools there, and he gets that first nail out. He's going to get started. He's going to get started building this deck. Then he takes his screwdriver, and he starts tapping on that nail. He does that for a bit, and then he gets his crescent wrench out, and he starts tapping on that nail with it. And you start thinking, why not use a hammer? He's got it hanging right there. It's right there with him. It's available to use. Why not use his hammer? He's frustrated. It's not going well. He hits his finger with the end of the screwdriver when he misses the nail. And he's frustrated. It's not working out. Why? Because he's not using the right tool. That is how prayer, I believe, is so many times for us. We leave it in the toolbox. We fail to take it out and have it a part of our life. When we need it, we use the wrong thing. Maybe we do use it, but not enough. Maybe we don't use it at the right time. So often we get hurt in the process as we try to use other things that really don't work. Pray. Pray. We get tired of waiting, but remember, waiting is not a waste of time if we are praying. Verse 14 says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer." And I don't know what that meant here at this point. Were they all together and having a prayer meeting? Were they all? I don't know how all this was. But it says, "They all continued with one accord in prayer." Praying while we are waiting is our response of obedience to God. God sees us praying. He knows that we are waiting. God has asked us to wait. Therefore, I pray. Without prayer, I believe waiting can become very hard. It does become hard. It can become a drudgery. We tend to lose hope if we're not praying. Maybe you are praying for a child to come to the Lord. Keep on praying. Maybe you are praying for a physical need. Maybe it's a health need. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Pray. If the only thing that I'm doing is waiting, then it becomes hard. But bring prayer into it. Prayer brings strength. Pray continuously, like it says here, that the apostles did. Prayer is a way of showing God that I am waiting. And in this time of waiting and praying, I believe God is working in my life. He's working in your life as you are waiting, as you are praying. He is changing me, helping me to become the person that I need to be, preparing me for what He has for me in this test of waiting. Will I pass the test of praying? Point number two I would like to present is, while I am waiting, I prepare. Verse 23, let's read that. "And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. This is them preparing." The apostles are preparing. They are in the upper room praying continually. We read that in verse 14. Now in verse 23, they are doing something. I see them preparing for what Jesus said would happen. We have them here. They appointed Joseph and Matthias. Verse 24, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Judas had forsaken the apostles, and they were now replacing him. So they were not only just praying, but they were doing something. They were planning. They were looking ahead. They were moving ahead in that way. This morning, I believe that while we are waiting on God, that God would have us to prepare our hearts for what he has for us. While we are waiting, we are preparing ourselves, our heart, for the direction, whatever direction that God takes us. As we are in that time between the promise and the time of fulfillment, it is not a time of idleness. God wants us to prepare for that time which is to come. And I don't know what that looks like in your life. And sometimes I'm not sure that I know what it looks like in mine. But we need to do something. We need to start planning. Prepare for the time when God does give us direction, when God answers the prayer. He has given you a promise. He has promised that if you are faithful, he will be with you. It's kind of like the farmers who pray for rain. Farmer spends time praying for rain. The one farmer goes in and sits down. He's going to wait and see what happens. The other farmer goes out and he prepares for the rain by plowing his field. He is preparing for planting. Am I preparing for the things that I am praying for? The things that I am hoping to receive of the Lord? Am I preparing for rain? Young people, young person, if you are praying for a life companion, are you preparing yourself by being the person God wants you to be now so that when you find that life companion, you are the person that you need to be able to move into that as God directs? It's a time when God molds us and shapes us and wears off those rough edges and creates the person that can be the most effective in his kingdom. Church life. We pray for revival, but are we doing something? Are we preparing ourselves to be the church that God wants us to be, the church that God can use? Do I see a need for revival in my own soul? What am I doing about it? It will not happen if we are just sitting, waiting. We need to be active. As an individual, am I preparing myself? Maybe I am praying for God to restore a relationship. Am I actively becoming a person that forgives? Are there areas in my life that need to be molded and mended? As an individual, maybe I'm praying about, you name it, maybe I'm praying about my debt load. But am I planning how to manage the things that God blesses me with? You put in there the things that you face, the things that are real for you, the things that you are praying about. What are you doing about it? Are you just sitting there waiting, or are you planning? You're moving ahead, preparing yourself to be what God wants you to be. Am I doing something with that? We need to be praying as we wait, and we need to be preparing. Are there areas in my life that need work? That is preparation. That is a part of being prepared. Transformed by the renewing of your minds. That is planning and preparing for what God has for us. Transforming our minds in this time of waiting. It says they gave themselves to prayer, and then they chose Matthias to be in their ministry. They were preparing for God, for what God was going to do in the days to come. Sometimes, in waiting, God is waiting on us. Did you ever think about that? I believe that is the case. So at times. Sometimes in our waiting on God, we think we're waiting on God, but He is waiting on us. Maybe, well, God is saying that, well, there are some areas in your life that need to be changed before I can answer that prayer. Are we open to that? God is waiting on us. Scripture says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So when we prepare our hearts for what God is going to bring, as we do that, God sees that we are serious about it. We are serious about this. God is saying, I have given them insight to the scriptures. Maybe it's through Bible study. Maybe it's through a message. What are we doing with that? Praying as we wait prepares the, how would you say, the spiritual realm. God hears our prayers. But when we do something about it, we read scripture, we study his word, we're serious about serving the Lord. That preparing is what changes us. It is what God is doing and developing in us. If we pray for something to change, then we need to get in there and prepare the field so that it can happen. God sees the beginning to the end. He sees the end from the very beginning. We do not. God uses time. He uses waiting to develop us with godly character. I think of patience, forbearance, love, on and on. He develops us. James chapter 1. There's a verse here that I liked in relation to that. James chapter 1. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We don't need patience if we don't have to wait. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That is what patience does to us. All right, they were praying and they were preparing. Point number three, while waiting, be a part, and I've put down plug in. Be a part and plug in. What do I mean by that? Back again in Acts 1, verse 14, it says, these all continued with one accord. What I see here is that they were connected with each other. They were together. They were of one accord. You know, I believe that there is something powerful that happens when we are waiting on God and we come into the assembly where there are other people waiting on God as well. I believe something takes place within us as we are a part of that. We worship God together. We pray together, and that brings about a connection. It brings about an understanding. I believe there's power, tremendous power in that. You know, if we isolate ourselves, go off out here on our own, do our own thing, wait, spend this waiting time, this process alone. What so often happens is that we become discouraged. We lose out. We lose out on prayer life. This morning we need to be plugged in. That is the reason that God has a body of believers on the earth. It is a place where we find strength and guidance in our waiting. I believe that many times God gives answers. He gives direction in our waiting through the brotherhood. God uses this time of waiting, and he is testing us. Every situation that we are in, I believe, is either a reward or a test. A time of waiting or a fulfillment of prayer. Think about it. What about the bad times, the difficult times? Maybe that is a test. How will I respond in this time of testing? It reminded me of the verse in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. I have it jotted down here. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. In verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. The trying of our faith is common, and God uses waiting in those times to test us. Earlier, we talked about David being anointed king and then having to wait all that time and being pursued by Saul as a hunted animal. He waited. And during that time, God was developing him. A couple of other individuals that I thought of in Scripture, Moses. Here was another individual who was tested while waiting. He chose to forsake Egypt and would rather suffer with the children of Israel, but he had to escape. He had to wait. He spent 40 years waiting in the desert. He waited and waited. Then came the burning bush experience. I do think of Noah. How many years was it that he waited after God had told him what was going to take place? The flood was going to come and destroy the earth. He waited. And the thing that I note there is that he didn't just not do anything. He had a work to do. He was preparing for that time. He built an ark as he waited. Abraham and Sarah promised a child, and yet they waited and waited to the point that Sarah gave up and she laughed at the thought of it. They waited. I have one more scripture I would like to look at yet. Back in Psalm again, Psalm 105, David, who knew so much about waiting. I find this an interesting portion of Scripture. Verse 19, I'm going to start by reading that verse. It says, until the time that his word came. In other words, until the time the promise was fulfilled. It says, the word of the Lord tried him. Some would say that the word of the Lord tested him. Some translations would put it that way. I mean, it's an interesting way to put this. This here, the scripture is speaking of Joseph, another man who was tested with times of waiting. In verse 17, backing up to that, it says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. We know what happened in Joseph's life. The word of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream, and he was young. He was but a boy. Joseph saw these dreams, and we know how his brothers hated him for it. But God gave him a promise, and Joseph didn't know when this was going to happen, when this promise was going to be fulfilled. All this time, he was waiting. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. That was very real in Joseph's life. The things that he was tried with, God needed a special kind of man for the test that he had. And testing is not bad. We think that we do not want to go through all these tests, but testing is actually good. I think we should look at it in that way. You know, the vehicle you drove here this morning had many tests done to it. They say close to 1,000 different tests, small and large, for all the systems in a vehicle. Safety tests, emission tests, all those things before the car is ready for sale. They go through so many tests. There's others, doctors, dentists. They all have to pass a test, and we're glad for that. Pilots need a test before they fly an airplane. We're glad for that. God puts us through a test of waiting. Are we glad for that? Back here to Joseph again. He put Joseph to a test. I heard a statement recently. I'm still not quite sure about what I think about it. But the statement was this: God does not trust until he tries men. You think about that. He tests us, and then he can trust us. God wanted Joseph God wanted to trust Joseph, and he was tested to the max. We know that. One of those tests was waiting. Joseph had a lot of waiting to do in his life. In the life of Joseph, now we know that God was certainly with him his whole life, but there were two times where the scripture says specifically that the Lord was with Joseph, and I'd like to note those. It wasn't when he was with his father and he had that coat of many colors. It wasn't when Pharaoh put him on the highest position of the land. That's not when it was that it says that the Lord was with him. But you read of the two times in Genesis 39. We're not going to turn there. But it was a time when Joseph's brothers sold him to slavery. That was one time. It says specifically, the Lord was with Joseph. A very hard, trying time. And then when he was thrown into prison. That was the other time. He was falsely accused, and it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. It was at the lowest times in his life. Joseph was waiting on God to fulfill the promise that to the dream that he had had many years before. I would guess that Joseph didn't see how that would ever come to pass. In the very lowest times in Joseph's life is when it was that it says God was with him. When times of doubt could have come, and probably did come, in the valley experiences, God was there. When do you think that God is closest to us? You know, it very well may be when we are going through the deepest valley experiences in waiting that God is there. In those difficult times, Joseph persevered. He not only prayed, he planned, he prepared. He was so good at this planning part that he was made the head person in the prison. He was faithful. He was enduring the test of waiting, and God saw that he was passing the test. God had him at the right place at the right time. Joseph remained faithful, and that is what we are called to do today. And that's what I'd like to, the closing thought I'd like to leave with us. We are called to be faithful in our time of waiting. You know, we can learn so much from the life of Joseph. But this morning, as you look at your life and the test of waiting that you are going through, am I willing to wait on God for his timing? His timing is perfect. Again, I mentioned it before, sometimes we question the timing of the Lord. But his timing is perfect. He is never late. Am I willing to wait for his timing to come to fruition? If I'm willing to wait, it is in those times that God will bless. As I'm willing to wait, if he sees continued faithfulness, then I believe that we are passing the test of waiting. So I'd just like to leave with us the challenge. How do we look at waiting? Let's look at it as a test, and let's rise to the challenge of passing the test of waiting and take these 3 points. Call upon the Lord in prayer. Work while we're waiting. Prepare our hearts. Prepare to be what God would have us to be. Prepare for that time when he does give us direction. And then plug in. Be a part. There's work to be done. Let's do that as we are waiting. I want to rise to that challenge, and I trust that is the desire of each of us. Let's kneel together in prayer.